Two weary employees were working their little hearts out, and it turned out that their department was too busy for staff to be able to take a vacation. Huh? But there had to be a way. One of the two employees suddenly lifted his head and said, "I know how to get some time off of work," the man whispered. "How?" asked the second worker. Instead of answering, the man quickly looked around and, seeing no sign of his boss, he jumped up on his desk, kicked out a couple ceiling tiles, and hoisted himself up. He said, "Look," as he swung his legs over a metal pipe and hung upside down. Within seconds, his boss emerged from his office at the far end of the floor. He saw the coworker hanging from the ceiling and asked him, "What on earth are you doing?" He said, "I'm a light bulb." His boss said, "I think you need some time off. Get out of here, and that's an order. I don't want to see you back here for at least another week. You understand me?" "Yes, sir," the employee answered meekly, then jumped down, logged off his computer, and left. The second worker was right behind him, hot on his heel. The boss said, "Where do you think you're going?" "Home," he said. "I can't work in the dark." Oh, I can't work in the dark. Well, on your way in this morning, you should have noticed that the Lord's table is set up here, which we're going to share in together on this first Sunday of the new year. I just always feel that that's really important that we kind of start off in that way. And as most of you probably already know, we have been doing a mini-series, if you will, leading up to Christmas about Jesus being the light of the world. In fact, if you could please put that, start that slide. There it is. We called it the light of Christmas as we were working our way up from between Thanksgiving and Christmas up to that holiday. And as you know, if you were here, I talked about in the very beginning of the first couple of weeks, I talked about how God brought natural light into the world, and that was really the beginning or catalyst to see life happen in our natural world. And in a much similar way, as Christ has come to us, he became the catalyst or source of life in the spiritual realm of which we are all a part of. You all know that, right? There's the physical part, but then there's the spirit and the soul part, and none of us can really escape that idea. And then over the few weeks we talked about this, I shared with you some of the history of the use of Christmas lights at Christmas and how those lights initially in Christian circles anyways were to remind people that Christ was and is the light of the world. Did you know that you weren't supposed to take down your decorations until tomorrow? Did you know that? Tomorrow is actually the day you're supposed to take them down. And some people think, you know, who are you to tell me when I can take my Christmas decorations down? Well, again, according to the Christian calendar, tomorrow is the day to take your lights down. You didn't know that, did you? But you will remember this, because we sing a song at Christmas about this, the 12 days of Christmas, right? Today is the 12th day of Christmas. And you're not supposed to take your lights down until after the 12 days of Christmas. Amen. Amen. Today, in case you didn't know, David Steffen told me this after I had kind of found this out during the week. Today is Epiphany Sunday. Did you know that? It's the last day of the Christmas celebration. In fact, In fact, this whole thing that we do Advent leading up to Christmas, when it first all got going, it was actually Christmas was the starting point, and then for 12 days you celebrated Christmas. Are you with me? Usually now the way it works is the day after Christmas, people are like, I'm sick of that. Stuff's going, right? I'm out. So what is this Epiphany Day about? It's actually the day that we're supposed to be remembering the wise men coming to visit Christ. And you may remember the story. They followed a what? Which is really it's a light. They followed a light to find the place where the Savior of the world, the Messiah, was born. Now, why is that significant? It's significant on a couple of levels. Now, I forgot to tell you, we're going to see if this works again. We're going to see how my touch is today, right? So I wanted to call what I want to share with you today. I have it on. Now what? The light of Christmas, now what? And this idea of the wise men coming to worship the Messiah, the Savior of the world, is significant because it really was the beginning of the fulfillment of a couple of significant Christmas prophecies in the Old Testament. The one that I want to draw your attention to is in Isaiah 49:6, where it is spoken in that whole chapter about the coming of the Messiah. In this verse 6, it says, "It's too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept." Let me just paraphrase that for you. In other words, what the word is about is your job, your role, is not going to be limited to just bringing people of Israel back to me. But he goes on to say, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring my salvations to the ends of the earth. Now, you may remember the wise men didn't live in Israel. You know the story, right? The Magi, they didn't live there. They lived in the uttermost parts of the earth. And so them coming to the light of Christ in Bethlehem was a sign, was the initial fulfillment of this light, the Messiah, bringing salvation to the ends of the earth. Are you with me? Now, last week, Pastor Scott shared with us, because this same prophetic word came up in Simeon that you talked about last week, where, in fact, I think you, wow, my touch, oh, baby. Hang on there, I got a touchy finger. In Luke chapter 2, verse 32, these are the words that Simeon spoke when he held the Christ child in his arms. He said, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to the people of Israel." Now, when you hear the word epiphany, right? I just want to be clear that we understand what these words are. Have you ever said, "I think I had an epiphany," or heard somebody say that? What they're really saying is, like, the light has gone on for me in my heart and mind about, you know, whatever, right? And we also use that word revelation in the same way. It's like, oh, I had a revelation. It's like the light went on about something that I previously had not seen before. And so this idea of the Magi, the wise men coming to Christ, in Israel, was a fulfillment of this passage, the Gentiles, which they were, the Gentiles coming to the light of Christ. Are you there? Okay, so with that in mind, that happens, the epiphany takes place, the wise men now have come, and now it's time to take the lights down. The next day, we take the lights down. And so I have this question for you this morning. Here it is. If Christ is the light of the world, and Christ came to bring light to the Gentiles, he came physically, he came in the flesh, we're told, and brought light to the world, and the wise men came, we go through that whole process. We also know that Christ ended up leaving the world, right? He exited the stage right. As though, it's as though, if you will, the lights were taken down. The lights, should I say, went out. The question becomes, now what? Now what? You've probably seen, maybe you've seen this picture before. This is a picture of our national Christmas tree in Washington, D.C. There it is, right there. And in fact, that's this year's picture. That was taken on the 28th of November this past year in 2018. So that's what the tree, national Christmas tree, and the area around it looked like this particular year. But in a few days, just to be clear, this is what that same tree is going to look like. Right? The tree doesn't go anywhere. The tree is a planted tree. It's there in the ground, but the lights come down. All the fanfare that was surrounding Christmas celebration, it's all gone. And it looks like just a tree out in the middle of a yard with a fence around it. There it is. You know, you don't go to Washington, D.C., at other times of the year and say, your first thing on our list, Lord, we got to go see the Christmas tree. Like, why would you go? It's a pine tree in the middle of a yard. So nobody's there now. At Christmas time, everybody shows up to see the tree. Got to see the tree if you go to Washington, D.C. So the question becomes, this is kind of where we're at. When Christmas is over, even if you drive around here, you know, there's people who do a wonderful job of, you know, putting lights out and decorating their lawns and the fronts of their houses and so forth and so on. But then if you drove around and looked this week, it's all gone. Did you notice that? You didn't notice? It's like all gone. All the festiveness, all that, it's the lights are out. But I'm here to remind you this morning that the idea is that Christ would come as the light of the world, and he would set aglow a light in our hearts so that in his absence, we would become the light of the world. Wow. Right here it is. Listen, 2 Corinthians, this is Paul in these first two passages anyways. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he writes and he says, God has made his light shine in our hearts. Remember, I've drawn this connection the weeks that we talked about this. The light is significant because in John's rendition of the Christmas story, he says, light came into the world, and that light was the life of men. So there's this intrinsic connection between light and life. There is in the natural, and there is in the spiritual. So the idea is that God, Christ would come, he would be that incredible bright light. But as we would be drawn to that light, he would then in turn light the lamp of our hearts, and now we get to shine brightly as the light of the world. Amen. So in Ephesians 5, in the same idea, he puts this idea forward in Ephesians 5. He says, as believers, we are light in the Lord, and he actually refers to us in that passage as children of the light. We're not Jesus. We're not Jesus. But our hearts have been lit to shine like Jesus. Is that okay? We're not Jesus. But something has happened in us that has caused our lives to light up. In fact, Jesus went as far as to say in Matthew chapter 5, when speaking to his followers, he said to them, "You are the light of the world. You are." He called himself the light of the world, but then he looked towards them and said, as followers of me, the light, you now are the light of the world. Now, I'd like to illustrate, it's been a while since I've done any illustrations for you, but I'd like to illustrate how significant that is. And the first way I'd like to talk about it is just with a couple of slides here. You and I, the relationship, our relationship with Christ and us now being the lights of the world, is much akin to the relationship between the moon and the sun. Now, I have a picture here of the moon. This is a full moon. And maybe some of you aren't aware, it was many years I was not aware of this, that the moon has no light in and of itself. Nothing. Zero. It's simply, all the moon is doing is simply reflecting the light of the sun as we see it. Did you know that? I think I was probably 40 years old before I knew that, right? So, but when you are out on a dark night and there is a full moon in the sky, it looks like, I mean, come on, it looks like that thing is lit up. That's what it looks like. And if you were to tell somebody that didn't know science or didn't know, you know, the whole reflection thing going on there, if you were to tell somebody, you would describe that as a lit up object, right? You would. There it is. Now, we know that there's a particular orbit that's going on, and as that orbit takes place, you all know that there's, what does it take, a month or I don't know how many days. How many days? 28 days for that thing to cycle, and it goes from being full and bright like that to, you know, different parts of it you can see, and then eventually you don't see any, and then it starts back the other way, and so forth and so on. Have I got it right? Okay. But there is another time when the moon, when you can't see the moon. And I want to show you a picture of that right here. Did it work? Right here. It's called an eclipse. An eclipse. A lunar eclipse. Now, in fact, you may or may not know this. I wrote it down here. The next one is actually in a couple weeks. Actually, 2 weeks from today. January 21st, 2019, there will be a lunar eclipse. Now, what happens with an eclipse? So we've got the moon. We've got the moon out here reflecting the light of the sun back to us here on Earth. And what happens in a lunar eclipse is the Earth gets between the sun and the moon. That's what happens. We're passing, or it's passing in such a way that it blocks the light from the sun to the moon, and it appears to be out. It looks like the moon is no longer reflecting the brightness of the sun. Now, I wrote here in my notes, the same thing, the identical thing, can happen to us on a spiritual level. And here's what I mean by that. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 3:18, he says, so all of us, with unveiled faces. Now, let me paraphrase that. I wrote here, I said, what unveiled faces means is that the light has gone on. I've had an epiphany. I've had a revelation that Jesus Christ is who he said he was, and he has lit the lamp of my heart, right? Paul says, so all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. We become the light of the world. The word reflect here means appear. It means to appear as to be seen as. The word reflect. So again, we've got the sun, we've got the moon. We've got the sun shining 24/7, casting energy, rays, and whatnot. In this case, it's towards the moon. The moon then in turn reflects that. It appears like that is lit up. But if, by chance, the earth gets between the sun and the moon goes dim. It can happen partially or totally. The moon goes dim or completely dark when the earth gets between the sun and the moon. The same thing, the exact same thing happens to us when we allow the world, when we allow the world to get between us and the S-O-N sun, we are not able to shine like God has called us to. Simple as that, right? We're not able to reflect. Paul says we reflect the glory of the Lord. When we're where we need to be and we're positioned in the place we should be and we're not allowing the world to get in between us, we become a reflection of the glory of the Lord to the places that we go. But what happens, probably more than it should, is we have these eclipses that take place that causes for us to not shine in the places that God has strategically placed us. So that's one notion, one idea of this thing of you and I being the light of the world. Now I want to show you another one. Just recently, my wife she purchased some solar lights for us at our home, and so we have them. I don't know what we're going to do with them yet, but we got them. They're there. And so let me just show you one of them right here. This is a solar light. You probably all know how these things are supposed to work. They have these little panels right here. See these panels? And as it sets outside, these take in the energy and light from the sun. And then when this light finds itself in a dark environment, the light comes on, right? And it shines brightly so you can see and, you know, see what you're doing, right? So anyways, you got this idea of a solar light. And it taking in the rays and the light of the sun to empower it to provide the necessary energy that the light is going to need in order to shine, in order to do it when it finds itself in a dark environment. Now, the thing that can keep that from happening is obviously if we were to stick this in a dark closet and it wasn't getting any light from the sun or any light from any light for that matter, if it wasn't getting any of that, it would not be able to shine brightly, right? We all agree, right? And so, you know, this isn't rocket science here. If you aren't positioning yourself and placing yourself in such a way that you're receiving from the S-O-N sun, you have no chance of fulfilling your your God-given destiny, which is to be the light of the world. You have no chance of doing that. It's not possible. Because you aren't taking in the necessary resource and energy that you're going to need to shine brightly. That's why a lot of times, we find ourselves in... And by the way, there's dark places out there everywhere. Hello? Yeah. There's dark places. And I don't mean, when I say dark places, I don't mean like, you know, people are worshiping demons. Like you got to go out and find demon worshipers to find a dark place. I'm talking about the general atmosphere out there. It lends itself to darkness. It's depressing, discouraging, yucky. People's lives are hurting. You know, they got all that stuff going on, right? That's darkness. And you and I, God strategically has called us to step into those places and shine for Him, right? But you can't, it's not possible to shine for Him unless you're taking in sun. You got to take it in. You got to get it. And by the way, can I just say, I know I sound like a broken record, but can I just say that what you might benefit from being here on a Sunday morning is a little, you know, is like a couple hours in the sun. But I got out the direction for this thing. And it said, in order for it to be function and operate the way it should, it needs a minimum of 8 hours of daylight in order to function. Are you with me? So we got a couple. We're putting in a couple right now, right? But that's not going to carry you the distance that you need to go this week. This week, this coming week, this will not carry you the distance. Your light will start to dim. It will start to it'll start to go out. So, anyways, I got one here that I charged up for you. Let's see if it works, right? So this thing is taking in some light. I put it out yesterday. I let the sun do its thing. The sun shined. It actually shined yesterday, right? So I put this out on our deck and wah. You know, it's doing, I don't know what it's doing in there, but it's doing its thing. And last night it scared me. It actually scared me. Because I was like, whoa, there's a light there. And we're not used to seeing a light right in that spot. So anyways, I put it out there. It got the sun it needed, so forth and so on. And one of the things I found out that it worked. It actually worked, right? When it got dark out, boom, that thing came on, right? And that, in a very simplistic way of looking at it, is what God is calling you and I to do. To take in the sun. So that especially when we find ourselves in those darker places, we're able to shine. Now, what's that mean? I want to be clear what that means. Remember, light has to do with life. You got to make this connection, because you got to see it, you got to feel it, you got to sense it. You are the life of the party, man. When God takes you into that place, you know that guy you talked about last week at, what was it, Burger? No, it, Taco Bell. Remember he talked about Wes, I think was his name. What was his name?
Matthew.
Matthew, he had some life coming out of him, right? That's the notion. That's the idea. That's why Jesus was attractive. Wherever he went, he was bringing life to the table. I want to introduce you to a machine you never saw before. Its name is Opportunity. It's an incredible story of this machine right here. Now, as you look at this particular picture, let me see if, oh, it works. See these panels right here? See these panels? Those are the same thing as this panel right here. Right? Amazing thing. This is one of the Mars rovers that was sent to the planet Mars to do study for NASA, right? So they built this thing. They sent it there. Let me see if I wrote down. They launched it in July of 2003. It arrived on Mars on January of 2004. So what's that? 6 months, 7 months, something like that? It made its trek. It landed on Mars. Now, get this. Billions of dollars invested in this machine. They expected it to last 90 days. 90 days. Now, here's the thing. Incredibly, some would say miraculously, this thing lasted 14 years. They were communicating with opportunity for what they thought was going to be 90 days. It ended up being 14 years, and it was still in operation as of June 10th, 2018, just this last June. Now, what happened or took place that caused this thing to last much, much longer than they ever anticipated? Well, if you can do the research yourself, it's called, what caused it to last longer is called, it went through cleaning events. You with me? They thought it would only last 90 days because they know that the conditions on Mars would cause the solar panels of the Opportunity to get covered in dust. Got a picture for you. Here it is. This is an aerial picture of that. Those things that look like wings on the side are the solar panels covered in debris and dust. And they thought after 90 days, this thing's going to be totally out of commission. It's not going to be able to rove. It's not going to be able to communicate with us. It's going to be 90 days dead on arrival. But what happened was, they call them now cleaning events, where somehow, some way, wind blew across these solar panels and caused them to get cleaned off again, so that it was for 14 years. So this thing would go. It would be online, if you will, and they'd be able to use it to gain information and take pictures and this, that, and the other thing, and then it would kind of go out of commission because it would get covered over with dust. And they would just sit and wait. They would sit and wait. And sometimes it would happen, the way that I read about it is it sometimes either gradually came like back online. Or sometimes overnight, it went from being totally unable to communicate, unable to shine, if you will, to being able to effectively transmit information again. A cleaning event. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." And no one would take a light and hide it under a bowl, right? You've all heard that story, right? You've all heard that teaching? Nobody would do that. Why would you do that? In fact, he says what you would do is you would take the light and you would put it out on a lampstand so that everybody could benefit from it, right? So, God, through a work of Christ in our hearts, has caused us to become a light. A light that's designed specifically to go into the darker places of the world. Whoop, hang on there, Chief. You ain't getting away that easy. Totally ruined my experiment, by the way. stinking candle won't light. I tried this thing at home, and it worked fantastic. Tip it? I'm a tipping it. I think I got the wood on fire here. All right, let's see what happens. Jesus said nobody would light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Now, whenever I've read that story for years, I've thought, of course not. Because then nobody would be able to see the light, right? But I looked up this word for, because some translations actually have it basket. But I looked up the Greek word for that, and it's more often used as the term as a bowl or a clay pot that they would have used, right? So obviously, as you're thinking about that teaching, you think to yourself, well, then nobody would be able to benefit from the light. But there's something even more serious at play in that. Now, for our purposes this morning, this is our bowl. I got it so that it's clear, so you can see for yourself what happens if you cover up this light. Now, at first, when you do it, it seems like nothing happens. But if you can, did everybody see it? But if you keep watching it, something very sad starts to take place. It'll happen. It better happen. Yeah, it's happening. You see what's happening? Lisette? She gone. That's a problem. When we let unnecessary debris, unnecessary junk, unnecessary stuff obstruct our hearts, that's what happens. The light gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And you and I are not able to reflect properly the true light of the world. You know, this morning we're celebrating the Lord's table, and it doesn't matter what angle you come at this table from. One of the primary designs of this table is to be a cleaning event. It's designed to be a place where we get our solar panels cleaned off so that we can take in the sun properly. And you know, when we come to this table, we think so often, you know, this is a personal thing, and it, you know, it's for us to get sin and guilt and shame and all those things handled again, dealt with again, under the blood again, however you want to say it. And it is. But I'm taking us to the next, I'm taking us beyond that. This isn't just about me getting to feel better about my life and myself again. This is huge. This is about you and I being able to, in the absence of Christ, be his representation in the world today. And if we do not keep our hearts clean of the debris of sin and world stuff, We are not able to brightly shine in the places God puts us. One last, before we, I'm going to ask the worship, are you guys coming back? Yeah, please. Oops, that's not what I need. This is very interesting. In Acts 13, verse 47, Acts is the history of the early church. And this is a scene right after Saul gets saved and becomes Paul, and he and Barnabas partner up to they're about to launch on some missionary travels and take the gospel to places it hasn't yet been to, right? And Paul says, he says this. He's talking to the people who they're about to be launched from, and he says, this is what the Lord has commanded us. Not suggested, not, you know, we're going to do this, you know, for a little hobby. This is going to be our hobby. He says, this is what the Lord has commanded us. Now, listen, I have made you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. You've heard that twice today already. It's the same verse. The prophetic verse in the Old Testament of Isaiah 49 is what Simeon was referencing when he had Christ in his arms, if you will, and was referencing how Christ would be a light to the Gentiles. Now that same word, exact same word, prophetic word, has fallen upon Paul and Barnabas. God has commanded us, and notice it's in quotes. If you go to your Bible, you will see that this references back to Isaiah 49, verse 6. They took that word, that prophetic word, about Christ initially, but is now in reference to the ministry they're about to embark upon as being the fulfillment of that prophetic word. Here we are 2,000 plus years later, and you know what? That word has not changed. That word that Paul gave, that the Lord has commanded us, is still the same word that God speaks over our life. I have called you to be a light for the Gentiles. Can I use Gentiles in that word? It was specific to people other than Jewish people. But a lot of times that word can simply mean people out there who haven't met Christ yet, right? So here's what I'm saying to us this morning. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You are the light. I'm not passing over anybody, right? I don't want to offend somebody. Like, you're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. That's what Jesus said. You are the light of the world. Now, our job, our role and responsibility in all of that is to make sure that we're taking in sufficient amount of ray and energy from God Himself into the solar panels of our hearts to make sure that we can shine brightly. If you don't take any in, you have no chance of shining brightly. This is not possible. This is not rocket science. You will be in those dark places, but there's just going to be a little bitty trickle coming out of there. Right? It's our responsibility. It's our privilege to make sure that the panels of our heart, whatever they look like, go through periodic cleaning events so that what God is looking to download to us can actually make it into our hearts. Because you are the light of the world. You see, we're waiting for Jesus. Come on, Lord. Do something here. And He's saying, you're the light of the world. I did my part. I came and got your lamps lit up. Now it's up to you to shine. I'll provide the necessary solar energy that you need in the person of my Holy Spirit, but you are the one to shine now. So as we come to this table, this isn't just about me getting all snuggly with God again. The implications of this are huge. They're huge. Think about it. We're wondering why. Think. We're wondering why. You know, but we prayed. We prayed this morning. Lord, we needed an awakening in our country. I asked myself, if everyone was shining, if everyone that says they know Christ was actually shining like they're supposed to shine, I think it would look different. But what happens? We come here, we get lit up a little bit on Sunday morning. By Monday, Tuesday, all that's leaked out. Come on, I'm just being real. It's leaked out. It's used up. We burn it out just on the people we got to live with. You know, those are some pretty dark places too. Oh, we were talking the other day. You know, it came up. It always comes up. You know, somebody was all depressed. Nancy Pelosi is Speaker of the House again. Oh, listen. Some people elected that person to sit in that role. It's simply a reflection of where our culture and world is at. And it's up to us to shine. It's up for us to make sure that our bulbs are lit brightly. Because you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. That means tomorrow, when you get up and you go to work, you are going to encounter dark places. It's up to you to shine bright. You are the life of the party. Don't go in there all haggard and looking like you got run over by a train. Go in there with some life. Folks, this stuff is not rocket science. We will shine as bright to the degree that we're taking it in. If we're not taking it in, it ain't coming out. You know, Kathy's word to us at the beginning of the service was, you know, to know Christ more. To go deeper, to let whatever, however we functioned yesterday, done. We're going to get on a new mission to follow Christ more, to know Christ more. So what I'm saying the same thing. We're dusting this thing off and we're getting our solar lights out there because God is desperate. If you're worried about our country, then do something about it. Get with God and start shining brighter. That's the answer. All right, I'm done. Okay, so sometimes we serve you communion today. In light of what I'm talking about, I really wanted it to be that you had to take an action. You needed to do something. So you know, every time I do this, the table is representing something specific. Today, I want you to have it represent that you see your need to come to the light, first of all, but to have a cleaning event. To let the winds of the Holy Spirit blow across the plains of your heart and blow some of the debris and dust away so that God can empower you the way that He so desires. So Lord, as we turn our hearts now towards your table, I'm asking, Father, that you would open heaven up over top of each of us, up over this place, Lord. And you would wake us up from our slumber. You would dust the cobwebs off of our spiritual closets, Lord. And you would break in with fresh new rays of your sunshine and energy and life. And you would just bring a download to us. Bring us back online so that we can take in all that you have for us in the days, months, and year ahead, Lord. Come, Lord. We wanna be effective. We wanna be useful in your hands, to shine brightly for you, to reflect your glory, Lord. So we're asking that you would do something fresh in our hearts this very day on January 6th, Epiphany Day, that the light will go on anew inside of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So when you feel the want or the ready to come to the table, that'll be here and available. Meanwhile, the worship team is going to lead us.
I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you.
My heart, would you fill me up? Face to the ground, forsaking my pride, leaving my will, my burdens behind. All I want, all I need is just to be with you, just to be with you. Here I am at your feet, just to be with you, just to be with you. I have come to the end of me, and there's nothing I have to bring. Just say I belong, say I.
My heart is that we would make the biggest impact that we could possibly make in light of all that He has done for us, that we would shine brightly for Him. So Lord, I'm planning on being a little brighter this week than I was last week. You've washed away the debris. We've turned our hearts towards You. We're going to pay attention to how much of the stuff of this life would get in the way. Lord, what our area, what our region would look different if we were able to be a bit brighter. So as we go from this place, I'm asking that You would go with us and continue to empower and bring that energy to bear in our hearts and lives. And when we feel like we're running low, may we go back to where we know our true help comes from. Be glorified in our lives. Be glorified in Your church. Be glorified in this church, Pioneer Christian Fellowship. In Jesus' name.